So, man, I want to talk about faith. Although Brother Sam's been talking about faith, man, I had it in my heart to talk about it even before Brother Sam was talking about it. But anyway, man, faith is something I struggled with because I couldn't get a handle on what faith really was, because I hear it used to me in such a variety of ways in the Bible. You know, sometimes talking about this man, you know, endured hardship through faith, and I'm like, but this other guy received a promise from God through faith. I was like, is there multi sides to faith? What is faith? I didn't get it. But getting down to the, for me, to the bare bones of it, helped me really understand it better, and really energized my heart to begin to believe God for some stuff that, anyway. To just believe God. So, man, we know over in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about the normal faith scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And actually, I'm going to go through a lot of Hebrews chapter 11, but we're just going to bounce through them. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here's one of those scriptures that always puzzled me. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. It's like, man, what does that mean? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's what Brother Sam had been preaching on. Which are seen, were not made of what is visible. So when I look at this, the first thing I want to point out here is Hebrews 11 says, by faith, we can understand. It didn't say faith is the understanding, and it says it's because of faith that we can understand that God framed the worlds by faith. With his words. It didn't say he even framed the worlds by faith. It said he frames them with his words, and we understand because of faith that that happened. I'm sorry, I was reading my note here. It doesn't necessarily mean that, I explained it. I don't need to. But listen to this. On chapter 1, I'm sorry, I'm just kind of getting started into this. This will, you know how I do. I lay out several things and then we'll bring it all together at the end. But listen to this. In verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I've heard so many people say faith and hope are the same thing, but that's not what this says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. They are two separate things. They're not the same thing. And it says, by faith, the elders or those people, your ancestors, Christian ancestors, obtained a good testimony. It said they had something worthy to be told because of the faith that was in them. But that's one of the first things that hit me. Faith comes first. And then came the substance of things hoped for. Then was the evidence of not seeing. It was faith, and then came, it was through faith that I understand God can do these things. It starts with faith in God. And we're going to find what that means. But what is faith? So let's look at a few things about what the Bible says to say about faith. But as you read through this chapter 11, listen, man, in verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Here we see that faith was in the sacrifice that was given. By faith, Abel sacrificed. By faith. That's what was faith was first. And the faith empowered him to bring an accurate sacrifice. His faith in God. You see over in verse 5, it says, this is what's Enoch, man. We got to find out about Enoch one day in heaven. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony. This is what people said about Enoch. He pleased God. I was like, man, what? That's just crazy in its own self. But here we see faith. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken because of his faith. In here, we see faith as a remarkable relationship with God. That's what it is. For Abel, it was a sacrifice. For Enoch, it's a crazy relationship. And if you read it over in Genesis chapter 5, it says Enoch's father was Jared, or a guy named Jared. I don't know much about Jared. But it says Enoch lived 65 years and had Methuselah. And then after Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Three centuries of relationship with God. My goodness. And then Enoch was no more, for God took him. My goodness. All right, verse 7. I'm just going to bounce through these, and we're going to, you know, jump on something here. Verse 7. By faith, or through the empowerment of faith, because of faith, Noah was divinely warned of things that had never been seen. He was empowered by this godly fear, and he built an ark to save his household. Right here, faith is working for God when you don't understand, when it makes no sense. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed, or because of faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to leave. Then he obeyed later when he was called to stay in a land that wasn't his. Then he obeyed later when he was called to offer up the only promise he had from God. Listen, 11, I don't want to skip, but there faith is obedience. And a blind obedience is that, an obedience that makes no sense. In Sarah, verse 11, it says, by faith, or because of faith, Sarah received strength to conceive, and she bore a child when she was past the age. She was no longer physically able to bear children, but her faith gave her the power to do it. It says by faith, she received strength because of her faith. And because, which this is, I'm a hit on this. She judged him faithful who has promised. That's a key word there. Here, faith is a decision to believe God will do what he said he'd do. Now look at this word judged. I think this is a real key to understanding faith, and we're going to explain it in a little bit. That word judge is exactly what we think it is. It's like a judge who sits on a bench and presides over two opposing views and decides which is right. And then enforces what's right. I mean, it says when you look up the Greek word judged, it comes from a root word that says to lead by oneself. And the other is, you know, literally just to judge. To look between two things, the evidence presented, and decide that one is more worthy than the other. But here is the deal. One evidence, here's the two things in her case, if we will. You got side A, which is her body, who has never conceived, and she's too old to have children. And side B is God. And out of those two things, when she looked at herself and looked at God, she judged that God would do whatever it took. And because she judged that, it empowered her body to adapt itself to the will of God. I think that was just cool. Faith came first. Faith came first. Now let me jump through some of these, because, man, in the rest of Hebrews, they just got all kinds of stuff that talks about people of faith. What's remarkable is they talk about these people dying without ever receiving the promise. That's what always confused me. I thought faith was what you used to get from God what he told you could have. But here they're saying, here's these great people of faith who died without ever acquiring some of the stuff that God called them to. And then, which I don't want to jump ahead, but listen, empowered by faith, Abel sacrificed to God. Empowered by faith, Enoch was taken by God. Empowered by faith, Noah built an ark. Abraham left his home, dwelt there. Sarah was strengthened by faith. Joseph was in Egypt. You guys know about Joseph, and he was the slave, and he got promoted up to basically running the whole nation. It says by faith, he told his children, when y'all leave, take my bones with you. Man, the kids didn't even know they were staying. But he said, by faith, when you get out of here, you take, by faith, he knew by faith they were leaving. He said, here's what you do. You take my bones with you when you go. They didn't know they were leaving. I don't think, like I said, I don't know if they knew they were staying. Listen, here's another one. By faith, Moses' parents hid their son for 3 months and had no fear of the king's command. They did that empowered by faith. And here's another one. By faith, Moses, because of faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh, and he denied the rights, the riches, the authority, the comforts, and told himself he would now be counted among his own people of God and be counted as a slave. And it was faith that caused him to do that. Then you read on in Hebrews 11, 30 through 39. I'm going to just bust through this real quick. It says, and what more shall I say? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and all of David and Samuel. Also of David and Samuel and the prophets. This is where it gets crazy. Who through faith or because of faith, they subdued entire kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lion, quenched violence of fire, escaped the sword. This all sounds cool. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They became valiant in battle. Because of faith, they turned to flight the armies. Because of faith, women received their dead raised to life again. This is where it turns. By faith, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Because of faith, still others had mockings and scourgings and chains. By faith, some were imprisoned. By faith, or because of their faith, some were stoned. Some were sawn in two with a saw, tempted, slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskin, goatskin, and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. They wandered the desert and mountains and dens and in caves of the earth. All these having obtained a good testimony through faith, they are worthy to be spoken of, and they did not receive the promise. So when I read through that, I ask myself, what exactly is faith? Why does this definitive chapter on faith say several times that those in faith died without receiving? I thought faith was only about receiving. And this is what was in my heart, because faith was first before their actions. Faith came first. Faith was never about receiving. Those that received promises received it because of faith, but they didn't receive it as faith. Faith empowered their ability to receive. It's not like they received, therefore they had faith. Faith opened that door. Faith is not about obtaining promises. If you have faith, you can obtain a promise. But faith was never about framing your world with your words. If you have faith, though, you can frame your world with your words. But that's not what faith is. It's not the ability to frame your world. It's not the ability to receive a promise. Faith is not necessarily about living righteous. But if you have faith, you can be strengthened for righteousness. And if you have faith, all of your unrighteousness can be covered by God's grace. So this is what I ended up with. And that's why I harped on. That's why I stopped on Sarah when it talked about Sarah. It said she judged. She's like a judge presiding over a trial. She weighed the evidence and she picked God. But the evidence was all reality. And God was unseen and unknown. And up until that point, her husband had trekked off across the other side of the world and was told to go to this land, and they were just foreigners in a land that wasn't their own. This is her reality. She's tried to have kids. She can't have any. And God says, you're going to have a kid. So she has only two things. She has years, decades of reality that says no, and then she has a word from God. And in that moment, she judged that the word of God was more powerful. And there is faith. That's where that faith is. Faith, this is just what I had to define it for myself. It was an intentional decision to reject everything that is not of God. And it's the actions that demonstrate that decision. There it was. David conquered kingdoms through faith, not through perfection, but because he believed that God would do what he said do. When Saul took out after David, at that time it wasn't King David. I mean, he had slayed Goliath, and then Saul got jealous. They said, you know, they're singing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul said, no, we ain't having this. But David knows. Samuel showed up at his house and poured oil on his head and said, you are the future king of Israel. And now the king of Israel is trying to kill him. And David refuses to hurt Saul in any way. Because he said, I will leave this up to God. Now that's faith. That's faith when all of reality, even your option, even what you know God wants you to do is within your reach. And you refuse to grab it because you say, I will let God do this himself. And I will take no part in it. That's faith. When women, I don't remember if it was Elijah or Elisha. I get them confused sometimes. But the widow, he used to pass by our house. I talked about it just a while back. He'd come on this trip between two towns. He passed by our house. So she built him a place to stay.
Elisha.
Built him a room. So he's staying in the room. And one day he tells her, what do you want? She goes, well, I have no son. He said, you're going to have a son. And that's when she said, don't lie to me, prophet. And she had a son.
Yeah.
Well, years later, that son died. And she took the son back to the prophet. I mean, she went and found the prophet and said, all is well. There's nothing to be worried about, but my son is dead. Come and help. Listen, when your son lies dead and you go find a man and say, just come and pray. You have chosen to reject reality and believe that God, who he is and what he does, is bigger and more important. The same thing happened with the centurion that came to Jesus. He said, my daughter lies sick. If you will speak the word only, that's all it will take. Jesus, I know you can control these things. That power is in you. And Jesus said, man, I hadn't found faith like this. Abraham, through faith, empowered by his belief in God, that nothing, no part of reality can override what God said, took a knife to his own son, raised it, and was ready to kill him until an angel stopped him. Now that's serious. Noah built an ark, took over a century to construct a boat in the middle of the land to prepare himself for what was called at that time rain, which was an imaginary thing because it had never occurred on the earth. That is a man who has decided that no part of reality counts, just God. So faith, there's that faith, to reject all ungodliness. And it goes beyond just stuff. By faith, you reject unforgiveness. By faith, you reject hate. By faith, you reject even doubt itself. By faith, I come to church time after time because I believe that what is being spoken here, I don't have faith in my pastor. I have faith in God that God put him here. There's not a single human being on this planet that is unflawed. So therefore, any message I get from another human being on this planet comes through a flawed mouth. So I can't judge the people. I come because I believe God wants me here. And if reality says I shouldn't be here, if reality says I can get a better job somewhere else, if reality says anything, I reject it. And I am empowered by my intentional decision to lay hold of God more than I do reality. I move forward with what I know is right. One of the things that I know I was really really praying about faith and trying to understand it better last year. For my wife and I had started, I just rode past a car. My wife's van is old. I want to get her a new one, or not a new van, but, you know, just a new car or whatever. I'm not too particular. But I drove past the car. I was like, man, that'd be nice. I was like, babe, I'm looking at getting you a new car. Man, this thing's getting old, all right? We bought it used. It's still used. It's well used. We need to look. And, man, Dixie and I were talking about it, and we could afford to get her a new car. Wasn't that big a deal. But, man, something came up on the inside of me, just the Holy Spirit, and just nudged me. The thought came, which I believe was from the Holy Spirit, said, if God is a provider for me, and He loves me, if He demonstrated the quality or the immenseness of His love by sending His only Son, if Romans says, if I sent my only Son, how much more would I not freely give you all things? If the Bible says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly, if the Bible says, I have given you all things, that you can partake of these blessings, that you can receive and walk in them, why do I have to buy the car? And that's kind of where it started for me. Why do I have to pay for it? Why can't I just ask God? And so Dixie and I didn't go buy a car. Now, I think I said in one of the last groups we had, I found out, you know, my grandmother passed about a month and a half ago. Good woman, great woman, lived a long life, loved by her kids, prosperous, died in her late 90s. Good life. But she had a brand new Lexus, and my mom wants it. My mom said, well, you know, when all the estate stuff gets settled, I will buy that for my grandmother. And my mom owns a Lexus. It's like 5 years old. And she said, when I buy the new one, Chad, I'm going to give you mine. So I just had to wait some months. And now I'm going to get a car that I'm not even paying a note. I'm not going to pay no notes. But I had to walk that out by faith because I felt like an idiot. I mean, I go to my wife and thankful she's faithful as well, full of faith. And I said, baby, we ought not have to buy it. We just ought not have to pay. I ought not have to take some money that I could be saving to go on a missions trip, or I could just be holding to give in a special offering and put it on a car note. I just shouldn't have to do it. And faith did it. I say that because I want to present that to you guys. What in your life is not of faith? Where are you not in faith? This morning I was talking to somebody and they were asking me about something. They said, well, Chad, how much would I cost? And I said, well, those things are about 30 grand. And they're like, oh, man. He goes, well, you know, we can always dream. I said, you're looking at that wrong. She said, what? I said, everything you've ever wanted is just one seat away. That's it. It's just one seat away. If God is who He says He is, if He did do all this, if He has the power, if in the Bible He said He measured these oceans in the palm of His hand, that He's the one that gave them boundaries, if He spun the earth backwards just to prove He could, put an entire day on pause while the army of Israel fought, 17 hours of daylight, why am I wondering about the things? Why do I have fear? Why does it even exist? It shouldn't. It shouldn't be there. I should never look at anything in my life with an impossible mindset, not even a fearful. Now, I didn't go out and believe God for a Lamborghini because I do not believe that is God's will for me, nor do I want one. I did not go out and believe God for a brand new $90,000 Mercedes or something. That's honestly what's not in my heart. What I prayed for my wife is to have an SUV that was nice, safe, that was comfy, and I ain't too particular. It's not even Dixie's favorite color. And God gave me exactly what I asked for. Dixie and I have been looking for a new house to build. And I think I mentioned this a while back. I know Tramiel was here a while back when I talked about the house. But Dixie and I are looking at this and looking at that. And And I just told her, babe, I'm going to pray and God's going to give us a price range that's right for us. And I said, and we're going to sow a seed. And we're just not going to fear. So it was during right around December, I asked God, I said, God, where's this seed? What do I need to do? And then he showed me the seed. He said, that's your seed right there. I didn't say anything to Dixie. It was not 3 days later. She goes, you think we ought to give this money? I said, yes. Yes, we ought to give this money. And here's what it's going to do. And because I sowed that seed, every time Dixie and I go to look around, or if we go to examine our finances, or we go to look at a credit score, I said, baby, I don't know why you're looking. That stuff's not relevant. We may need that when we go, if we even have to apply for a loan. I said, I don't know how it's coming. I'm not believing God for a raise. I'm not believing God to show up a money coming in the bank. I'm not believing God for to give us a home through somebody else. Here's all I'm saying. God said I can have what I asked for. He gave me a home to believe for and a seed to sow. I'm done now. From this point on, I will obey and I will resist fear. And that's it. God says, go stand on the street corner in some pink socks. I'm going to put on my socks and I'm going to go. And that's going to open the door. But we're going to have to look foolish. We're going to have to take some risk. Because I'm just going to refuse to quit believing. And that's concerning things. But you know what? These people, it says, they were sawn in two, imprisoned, killed, stoned. Because they believed. They judged between the pain and the difficulty they were going to face in God and said, there is nothing in this reality for me. I'm going to stick with God. Now there's faith. I told Dixie, I think it was just yesterday, I said, concerning this house, I said, baby, it's not a question of what's God going to do for us. That was settled when he told us what he wanted, then spoke to us a seed. Then we immediately sowed the seed joyfully, fully expecting. I said, the only thing we have to deal with now is fear. Because reality will lie to us. I mean, reality is, it does its thing. It just tells you the current conditions. And it tells you what's coming if nothing changes. But if everything on this planet, every atom, every mindset, every person was built by the Word of God, and I've got it, I think I'm going to just stick with that. So I leave that with you guys today. I don't even think it was that long to share. But just to say, what's going on in you that is not of faith? Where in your life, as Brother Sam could say, you've always got to have something your faith is doing. It's a muscle. It grows. It's a seed. You got to plant it. You plant it by working it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I believe God can provide me a house because the Word told me. Not only the Word tell me He could, but the Word told me He loved me enough to do it. The Word also told me, don't be an idiot. Some of you don't receive because your requests are based on your own lust. That's why I did not request a $7 million home on the lake with a special garage for my jet skis. I don't believe that's in the will of God for my life. And I do believe if I was living there, ego and pride would rise up and harm my relationship with God. It's just not where I want to be. So, I throw that out to you guys. You guys want to add anything in? Yeah?